Hello and welcome to It's an Arsenal Thing. I'm your host Tom, and with me is a man who once borrowed a cat to impress a date. It didn't go well, did it? It's the one and only Silent Dave Hutchinson. Plus, he forgot the name of the cat. Haircut? Did they actually trim around the hat or did you take it off? Let me tell you, Podders, he hasn't taken off his beanie hat for about 3 weeks now for fear of jinxing the Arsenal. It's a 24-hour accessory. He wears it in the bath, bed, work. It's always beanie on. Moving swiftly along with a mixed bag on the podcast, with Arsenal being dumped out of the Europa League by a determined and forceful Sporting in return leg at the Emirates. And that turned our attention to the big one, the Premier League. And up next was Crystal Palace, who decided, how dare they, to sack former Arsenal legend and captain and icon Patrick Vieira. We'll let you know our thoughts on that. We cast an eye over the NLD in the WSL with an in-form Arsenal and a troubled Spurs. Hurrah! We also look forward to the Leeds encounter on April Fool's Day, April the 1st. Whose idea was that? I'll be in the gun room to discuss all those points, all those games with the Podketeers. We'll also mention the exclusion of Ben White by Gareth Bathsponge. The podcast is brought to you by Manscaped.com for the best grooming experience below or above the waist. Be carefree and hair-free with the Performance Package 4.0 Luxury Grooming Kit. Arsenal Archives, March 1986. Don Howe resigned as manager 10 years to the day after Bertie Mee. Steve Burtenshaw took over. 22nd of March 2005 was the start of Jens Lehmann's record of 853 minutes without conceding a goal in the Champions League. 23rd of March 2000, Ray Parlour scored a hat-trick against Werder Bremen as Arsenal won 4-2 away to go through to the UEFA Cup semi-final. 28th of March 2004, Arsenal won, Manchester United won. Alex Ferguson announced he was sure that Arsenal would win the league, but they wouldn't do it unbeaten, referring back to his experience at Rangers, where the unbeaten side lost the last match of the season. This was the first draw after 9 successive wins in the 30th league game of an unbeaten season. Arsenal paid QPR £1.3 million for David Seaman in 1990, a British record fee for a goalkeeper at the time. Seaman made 564 appearances for Arsenal between 1990 and 2003, as well as making over 1,000 career appearances for various club sides and England. In other news, Todd Bowley has sacked a father and son team who were the head groundsman and assistant groundsman for Chelsea. Apparently, they just weren't cutting it. Hey, well, now they get a chance to see if it is actually greener on the other side. However, it must have been a turf decision. Moa on that later. Dave, I've read that out of sympathy. Absolutely shocking script. Antonio Conte wasn't best pleased about his Spurs players and he came out with some comedy gold in his recent press conference.
Antonio Conte here, he ate these fucking chickens. Your English pizzas suck boom all, and, I don't even know where North London is, to let alone, understand the Cockney savages.
Alright, we made it all up, but it's all true. He'll be on a beach drinking cocktails in the summer, in his flip-flops and man-made fibre hair. Tara Sansford is the club's newest recruit to the grounds department, and she becomes Arsenal's first ever female groundskeeper. Lifelong gooner Tara jumped at the opportunity to represent the club when the job role was advertised. She said, "I'm a huge Arsenal fan, but I come from a family of Tottenham supporters. My dad tried to get me to support the filth when I was younger, but I just wasn't having any of it. I love watching Arsenal play, so I felt it was the right thing to support them. I worked for Broxbourne Council for 7 years and I needed a change and a new challenge. When I saw this job online, I thought, I can't not apply for that." What month is it, March? You know what that means. It's time for an Arsenal board restructure. Oh, yes. Stan Kroenke and Josh Kroenke have become co-chairs. I hope they're comfortable. Whilst Tim Lewis has become executive vice chair, supported by director Phil Harris, together with the executive team and all our wonderful people, I quote, "We have an incredible opportunity to build on the values and traditions of Arsenal Football Club." Hear, hear!
It's an Arsenal thing, it's an Arsenal thing. Believe it or not, it's an Arsenal thing. With football and transfers, you know who you'll bring. You're listening to It's an Arsenal Thing.
So I asked Dave to sniff out a celebrity list of Palace fans. Not something you readily admit to, is it? He came up with, well, it's not a bad list actually, Dave. Melancholy comedian, or just miserable. Miserable twat. Joe Brand, actors Timothy Spall and Bill Nighy, man behaving badly and voice of Bob the Builder, Neil Morrissey, Paul Weller, the Mod Father, former cricketer Mark Butcher, and finally, movie star Liam Neeson is a Crystal Palace fan. He wasn't born there, though, was he? Not with that accent. Dave, don't push the boundaries of reality, not even on an audio podcast. Look, OK, I've had enough. All right, then, play the speech from Taken.
If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I won't look for you. I won't pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will make you eat winkles and jelly dills.
Oh yeah, South London. Who knew?
It's time to enter the gun room for a natter.
Woohoo, Podders. Hey, we're back. And what a gun room it is, because we were at the Palace. We've got lots to talk about. Obviously, there's other games as well, but you can't stop talking about the Palace. With me, I have got Lauren, who's recovered. And how are you feeling now, Lauren?
I'm good. I'm
doing
good.
My rich tea and sympathy.
Thank you. I need a bit of sympathy this week. No, my voice sounds a bit deeper, a bit sexier. I hope I sound more professional, more knowledgeable with it. But apart from that, all good. Thanks.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I could notice the old Lee Marvin tones coming in. For anyone who remembers Lee Marvin. Jay's in his den. How are you, Jay?
Yeah, all good, thanks. All good.
He went to the ground. Atmosphere, Jay, you've got to tell us about that. I bet it was a corker, wasn't it? Even though Palace were a little bit subdued, and we'll go into the obvious reasons in a bit.
Yeah, atmosphere was absolutely spot on. The stadium these days, as we all know, is it's a great place to be, and it's positive. And even at the I suppose at the slower parts of the game, the stadium's still absolutely rocking. So yeah, it was another great day out. Superb day.
Lauren, going into this game, what did you think? What was the mood like in your mind? Did you fancy us for it? Did you think that Palace would get the bounce, even though it was, what was it, the under-21s manager or something was bumped up into position?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games, you know. Obviously, Crystal Palace, they're obviously on a pretty rough run at the moment, but they're a team with a lot of quality, you know. We can't put that past them. You kind of anticipated something similar that was going to happen, what happened at Everton when they came to the Emirates after they got rid of Lampard. But, you know, it's tough. I think at this stage, you know, if we're going to be serious about the title, we have to be going into these games thinking we're going to win, regardless of what's going on with the other team. So, you know, I went in pretty confident, see what was going to happen, and yeah, I wasn't disappointed.
We're going to work backwards, Podders, because we were supposed to have a guest on called Soph. She's got her own YouTube channel, and she was supposed to come on, but we haven't got the link. The technology is terrible these days. She might as well be in Botswana or something. We'll just fly a paper plane over there. Right, so we've got, let's first discuss Gareth Bath-Sponge's decision to leave Ben White out, Jay, of the England squad. I know there was talk about a bust-up when the Qatar World Cup was on. What do you make of that decision? Because he's a cracking right back and centre half. It's not like we've got an abundance of these people, is it?
No, he's. I think it's just more of a case that Southgate just doesn't fancy him. There's no argument to make Eric Dier the better choice. There's nothing that Eric Dier offers that Ben White doesn't, you know, for example. And also, Ben White's had an absolutely immense season. Then something, obviously, nobody really knows what happened at the World Cup, but it must be. I mean, ultimately, I don't think Ben White would be that bothered. He doesn't come across like somebody who would let, you know, something like this affect his confidence or his morale or anything like that. I think it's just more of a case that Southgate just doesn't like him, doesn't fancy him. But I mean, like I said at the time, not that I really care, because ultimately, I'd like it if
he doesn't pick any Arsenal players, exactly. That'd be brilliant.
Or any international, you know, this international break's just come at a ridiculous time. It's just, you know, I'd prefer it if they all just pulled out, you know, Saka, Partey, and everybody who's involved in Zinchenko, everybody who's involved in this international break. So I'm not too fussed, especially with Tomiyasu being injured. You know, we can't
Yeah, I don't know whether you guys have heard, but he's out for the rest of the season. He's had a successful knee op, so you know, we wish him well. But obviously, that is a big blow because I felt he was just coming back into his own. Lauren, we went out of Europe, the Europa League. Sporting were dominant, especially in the second 45. And the longer that game went on, if it went to penalties, I actually fancied Sporting to do it. It was just one of those days. What did you make of that performance?
To be honest, I actually didn't see it all. I got back for the second
half.
Not
from your deathbed.
Thursday nights. I'm over 30 night, or Thursday nights. I can't do it anymore. I'm ready for the Champions League era, to be honest. No, I didn't see it. I had a friend was over visiting, so I was out with her. And I thought, you know, I won't get to see any of it. What a pity. But, oh, I was wrong. I didn't see that much. I didn't even watch the highlights of it.
You actually made a good move there, Laura, I'll tell you, because you're just like thinking, oh, God, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah, I mean, I was following it on my phone. And to be honest, I wasn't too pushed either way. I think, you know, obviously it would have been great to go all the way. But if it comes down to it and we have to focus on one or the other, I think everyone's eggs are in the Premier League basket. And, you know, having seen the injuries we picked up on the night, you know, obviously we just spoke about Tomiyasu there and Saliba also picked up a knock.
Yeah, I mean, provided... it was bad enough going out, but to get two injuries in double quick time as well. Mm-hmm. I was kind of cacking it at that stage. I was thinking, oh, no, this is going to ruin our run in for the league.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just as long as Saliba isn't as serious, and he'll be hopefully, you know, it's more precautionary than anything, and he'll be back after the international break. But, you know, I think it kind of gave us a taste of what would happen if we were to go the full way in both competitions. And, you know, take it as it is. It's fine. We got a bit of Europe experience this year, but hopefully next year we'll be on to bigger and better things. So,
yeah, I think it just shows that we're not ready this season for that type of competition. Mm-hmm. We will be probably bringing some more people in the summer, hopefully. We'll talk about that a bit later. Jay, has this exit helped us with the running? Because a lot of people are kind of saying, ah, well, it's okay. You know, I mean, I wasn't too fussed about it because my priority is and always will be the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. I was disappointed to go out, obviously. And the manner that we went out, we didn't play well on the night. I didn't think, you know, we were really sloppy in possession, you know, uncharacteristically sloppy, really, because it's been a real positive this season, just how well we pass the ball and move the ball forward. And we didn't do that on the night. Losing Saliba and obviously Tomiyasu was early as well in the game, obviously played a part as well. I never see a positive in going out of any competition. And I get the whole lack of games and all of that, you know, and that is obviously, I understand that. I understand that we're going to have fewer games now. But I always felt that, you know, winning breeds winning and, you know, everybody knows that. And I was disappointed to go out, but ultimately, and also I felt that going out puts, you know, subconsciously puts a little bit more pressure on the league form now. You know, I know there is pressure. I know we're in the, you know, the business end of the season now, and it's pressure every week. But, you know, not having that Europa League to fall back on maybe cranks up the pressure a little bit more on the players. But we responded against Palace, you know, in, you know, there was certainly no hangover. And we've done that this season on a few occasions where we've had these setbacks and basically fired back straight away. And like we did, you know, we did so well against Palace. So never nice to go out. I get the argument that there's fewer games now. And if we end up winning the league, no one's going to care about the Europa. So, you know, like it's the league, it's league or nothing, league or bust. And it's been that way for a while, but I don't know, just me personally, I liked having the Europa League as like a fallback, as like a, you know, if it does go tits up in the league, at least we've got the league, you know, the Europa League to but look, yeah, and I will say this, Sporting are a good side. Like they passed the ball well, and they were really well drilled defensively. They didn't give us really a sniff, apart from at the very end when obviously Trossard went through and hit the post. They've got a good goalkeeper who played out of his skin. Mm. It was like a throwback to the old days where, a random goalie would just have a absolute stormer. I remember Birmingham's old keeper, Mike Taylor, he always used to turn up against us. And Jaskalainen for Bolton. Do you remember him, Tom? You'll see Jaskalainen.
Yeah.
He used to throw
God
in
almighty. I hated him.
And it reminded me a bit of that. This goal is just everything he was pulling off, you know, even that save when Trossard hit the post, you know, it was a reactionary, and obviously, but he did well, made himself big and got enough on it to push it against the post. And you just felt the longer it went on, we're not going to win here. But mm-hmm. you expect, ultimately, we're at home and I think we all expected to just steamroll them. And obviously that didn't happen because they're a good side. So, I mean,
I've got to be honest with the atmosphere and the side. When you looked at that side on paper, it looked good enough to do that steamroller as well, didn't it?
Yeah, I think in hindsight, I think having, you know, the midfield was a bit, we lacked a bit of dynamism in the middle. You know, you had Jorginho, who, and we've spoke about this before, you know, he's not the quickest. And I'm not saying he was at fault for the defeat or going out, rather. He wasn't. But I just feel with Xhaka, Jorginho, and I think it was Vieira, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a bit slow in there. And I felt that they, whereas obviously we all know how effective Thomas Partey is. And when he came on in the second half, although it didn't change massively, you could still see the improvement. And I just felt it was a bit slow. But look, fair play. We were beaten. I said at the time last Thursday, I said we were beaten by the better side, and they, over the two legs, they deserved it. And if you don't turn up, even, you know, nobody likes the Europa, but when you get to the quarterfinals or whatever stage we were, they're going to be good teams there. You know, Sporting Lisbon are probably a Champions League side, you know, that's a tough. I think when you
thing look, is, you've got to go over there and do a number on them so you can just go on cruise control and hang on when you're at home. And obviously, if it's that draw the way around.
And obviously the no away goals rule now, that doesn't come into effect. So it makes the games, you know, teams, whereas in previous years away from home would tend to defend, or home sides would tend to defend more. The games are a lot more open, and they're a good side. And, you know, it was massively important that we reacted, you know, against Palace. It was, we couldn't, you know, especially with City not playing in the league, we couldn't suffer a hangover of any sort. So, and we didn't. And it was, that was the most important thing, you know, it was, we reacted well.
Right. Let's budge on to the Palace game then, quite happily as well after that. Lauren, we're 19 points ahead of United, 20 points ahead of Spurs, and 22 points over Newcastle going into this game. The big talking point was Patrick Vieira. I didn't see it coming. I know they didn't quite get the results. They weren't very good up the top end. And there were some games, though, that they could have just eat and sneaked, if you know what I mean. Vieira sacking, was that palatable for you? Because I know I was bloody well angry when I heard about it, because he's an Arsenal boy. He's an icon. He's a legend. And I felt he's doing a striptease down there. Look. Hey. Dan, 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 dan. Podders, we're giving you all. But he could have got them out of trouble. I mean, there's easier games coming up for Palace. Do you think the timing was really suspect? Do you think it was unpalatable, especially when they've drafted back Roy Hodgson, who plays the type of football that is like a sausage in cement. It's awful. It's boring. It's dull. It's defensive. It's, instead of going a step forward, Palace have now gone a step backwards, surely.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. And to be honest, you know, when you look at the table, it doesn't look like they're doing too bad. But then when you see how close all those points are from 12th to 20th, you can kind of say, OK, look, there's a lot more pressure on them than, you know, appears on first glance. But as you mentioned there, Tom, they had a really tough run of games. They played well throughout those games. They're coming into the easier side of things now, you would hope. And, you know, it's a team that, in my mind, won't go down. Like, you know, they're probably pushing to kind of get away from that group now, which I think they will comfortably as well. I think they had a few injuries too. To me, it's completely bizarre. And especially when we see the direction they've gone in bringing back in Roy Hodgson, it makes no sense. I wonder, was it a falling out behind the scenes or something? Because to me, there's no apparent reason why they would make such a rash decision without having a proper plan in place, you know, in such a precarious position as well. Really disappointed for Vieira. I think he's proved that he's a more than capable Premier League manager, and I hope he gets another chance at another club, hopefully soon. Also pretty disappointed for Lokonga as well. I was excited to see him get a bit of time under Vieira and, you know, a bit more Premier League time and hopefully come back to Arsenal with that under his belt. But yeah, you know, I don't think from any of our sides it's a good call. But as long as we got the win on Sunday and we didn't have to suffer the bounce, as they call it. But overall, it's really disappointing. And I think it's a strange, strange decision from Palace.
Well, it's the timing of it as well. I mean, you know, obviously the game, my friend Gary went as well as Jake. And he said they were still singing Vieira, not for the new one, the old one. That's how much he means to us. And I did say on a podcast that I did yesterday that even if Palace had got a draw with us or had nicked 2 points off us, yeah, I'd still had that affection for Patrick Vieira that it didn't matter as much. It matters because I hate losing, but it's Patrick Vieira. Jay, this... what's his name? Parrish. Has he got any clue about what he's doing? Because he suddenly employed Vieira to take the club forward. And then all of a sudden, he's retroing, isn't he? He's getting this guy until the end of the season. We all know what he's like. He's a plodder. He should have retired about 5 years ago. But actually, he should have retired after the England job, for Christ's sake. He got Harry Kane taking corners. Nobody lets Harry Kane take a corner, surely. What's your slant on it, Jay?
I think you'd understand if they had a plan as to who to bring in. You know, say for example, Eddie Howe didn't go to Newcastle, and he was still sort of unemployed or whatever, and he was looking for work, and this opportunity came up, and they got rid of Vieira and they brought in someone like Eddie Howe. You kind of understand, but with Roy Hodgson, I'm not sure they're any better than they would be if they'd have kept Vieira. You know, because I'm with Lauren. They're not going to go down. Parrish, to answer your question, Parrish he's panicked a bit. You know, he's hoping for that new manager bounce. Do you get a new manager bounce from somebody who you sacked 18 months earlier, who's 75 years old? And bless him, you know, he's had a good career. But, I mean, how inspiring is he going to be? They've got a fairly young squad. They've got some really good, exciting players. I mean, I understand, you know, you can understand they haven't won this year, but they, like Lauren said, they've had some tricky games. And, you know, losing 4-1 at the Emirates, I think they lost to Brighton the other week, didn't they? I think they should have got a result. And, you know, results have been tough, but they've had a really difficult run of games. And I think Vieira, I just don't think they're any better. That's all. I don't think that with Roy, if they'd had an exciting manager to bring in, you know, like, I mean, it's a terrible.
Like a Tuchel or someone like that. But he's not going to want that job, is he?
No. I just think they've panicked a bit. Mm. Ultimately, if they do go down, it's the wrong decision. If they stay up, it's the right one. And that's, you know, I think Vieira, I think the jury's still out, maybe to a certain extent, because people will see that he's failed here. But I think he will always argue that they're in 12th spot. So where do you expect Palace to be? You know, I don't expect Crystal Palace to be any higher than 12th, really. That's, you know, in and around that area. And
they don't... Yeah, mid-table at best, aren't they, really? They're not Real Madrid, and they never were going to be. And plus, Jay, 10 players were out of contract when Patrick Vieira arrived. Couldn't get his name out there. 10 players out of contract. So he virtually had to start again. He had to loan players in. He never got the financial support. And that's the real damning thing. You're getting rid of a potentially really good manager and you haven't supported him in the way that Arsenal supported Arteta.
And I mean, they struggled for goals. You know, it's tough to sign somebody at the level, you know, the elite level, who's going to score your goals to keep you in the league. They relied on Zaha. His form has dropped off a cliff. Although I did think he played well on Sunday. You know, he's tricky still.
Best player.
Yeah. And I think they really paid the price for that. But just going back to the game, the whole home ground, the whole Emirates were singing Vieira, Patrick, the whole, you know, it's the love. I mean, obviously, nobody needs anything explained. You know, guys, the guy is a pure legend, you know, and he's, you know, okay, he may be a generation ago, but the lasting impact that Vieira had for me personally, I mean, he's one of my all time favorites. He's an absolute legend, and regardless of what he does as a manager, I hope he does well. You know, I suppose at some point in the future, I'd want him to be the Arsenal manager, but he needs to probably go away and rebuild his career a little bit. But you know, unbelievable player. Sad that it hasn't worked out, but look, he's still young enough, isn't he, to make it work somewhere else. So
a lot of people on social media now sort of hoping that Palace get relegated. That was the sentiment behind the Vieira sacking. Everyone was so incensed and upset about it. They wanted Palace relegated. So let's move on to that game. Let's give you the team. Ramsdale, White, Holding, Gabriel, Zinchenko, Martin Odegaard, Thomas Partey, Granit Xhaka, Bukayo Saka, Trossard and Martinelli. I mean, that was a bit of a setup, wasn't it? It was just brilliant. And it was kind of weird that Jesus, Lauren, still couldn't get a sniff because Trossard is playing his socks off.
For sure, absolutely. And I think, you know, Jesus was out for so long, you know, there's no point rushing him back when we have someone in the team who's bringing so much, you know. And he you know, especially with Nketiah being out as well, you know, just let him take his time and bring him on as an impact sub. What a great option to have from the bench, you know.
It was one of the concerns, obviously, was Tomiyasu. We've discussed he's out for a knee with a knee injury that required an operation. Saliba, I heard that was a back injury. I'm not sure. How did Rob Holding do for you, Jay? Because he's had mixed kind of vibes on social media, as you would expect.
He was immense. I think there was obviously that sort of anxiety over seeing him play unfairly, probably, because, you know, he's never really let us down. You know, I suppose there was the Spurs away last season when he got sent off, but, you know, he hasn't played much. I suppose that adds to the anxiety. You know, I don't think he started a game this season or in the league anyway. And he's been brought on as just more of a stopper or somebody to come on and just see games out, you know. And I suppose Ben White would have played at centre half instead of him on Sunday if Yasu was fit, but that obviously wasn't the case. So he came in and he did so well, and he won some really important headers, and he made one really brilliant tackle right on the halfway line. The kind of old school central defender going through, taking the player, taking the ball, and you know, just nice and strong, confident. And, you know, he isn't, you know, we all watched All or Nothing. He knows he's got his limits. You know, he knows he's... But I tell you what, there'll be a lot of clubs that would want him. You know, there'll be a lot of clubs, okay.
He's got a great attitude as well, hasn't he, Jay? I mean, you know, he just says, look, I get paid to play football.
And he played really well. And I was so happy for him. And he was, I mean, if Saka didn't play as well as he did, he would have got man of the match for me. Just because he came in, did what he was asked, you know, and we had to just get over this one game before the international break. So Saliba can have these, you know, next couple of weeks off, and hopefully he can get fit again, because, I mean, Rob Holding did well, but there's no comparison. You know, like, Saliba is Saliba. You know, he's an absolute monster. And he's been immense this season. And as much as I liked Rob Holding's performance, I want Saliba back. So... we just had to get through this one game, and he did so well.
Well, there's interesting facts here, Podders, on Rob Holding, in case you're thinking, God, he had a khaki one or he was really good. Let's put it to the jury. 87 touches, 91% pass accuracy, 7 aerial duels won, 4 ground duels won, 2 tackles, 1 shot blocked, 1 dribble completed. He's not a dribbler, is he, really? But and he's got an Alice band, because he's like a... It's like a horse's mane, isn't it? where did that come from? I noticed Gabriel's didn't take root as well. Anyway, let's get on to the game. 18 minutes, Odegaard put a left-footed strike after Saka's cross was deflected into the path of the Arsenal skipper, which produced a sharp save from the youngster. Whitworth, I mean, what a game to come in. 18 years of age, isn't he? Crazy. 28 minutes saw us grab the opener. Jay, take us through that. It's Martinelli. Now, the one thing we will say about Martinelli is we've been banging on trying to support him because he hasn't been getting the service. He's very noticeable now in this game, and we will refer to it. Kieran Tierney was, instrumental in kind of putting balls across and livening up that section. And obviously, Trossard is making a huge impact with Martinelli as well. So anyway, Jay, walk us through that goal. 28 minutes gone.
Yeah, so Saka had the ball on the right-hand side and he put in a cross with his right foot, put it to the back post. Martinelli controlled it perfectly, put it onto his weaker foot, to his left, and we were right behind that.
Wow.
Great connection. And it were on. It was like right in front of us and it perfect. It struck the ball really well. Keeper, no chance. Full of confidence, and he's really stepped up, hasn't he, recently, Martinelli, scoring.
It's quite remarkable because that penalty miss as well, isn't it? You think maybe he might take a knock confidence-wise, but he came through.
Yeah, and on the day again, he was back to his, tantalisingly best on that left-hand side, causing them trouble. But that was a great finish. That was a lovely finish, Jonathan, from his left foot. Bang, bottom corner.
I'll tell you what, Lauren, as well, you've got to admire his footwork, isn't it? Because when he got that ball, it was kind of a left and right foot combination and then a turn. He's so gifted. I mean, you just wonder where his limit is. Where is his roof?
I think we also forget how young he is as well. Everyone focuses on Saka, the star boy. But, I think they're probably the same age, if not a year in between them. Like, it's crazy what he's achieved in 6 goals in 6 games. I think he's one goal off Marcus Rashford, I think I saw on Twitter, and everyone's making a big fuss about it. Exactly. It's exciting. It's really great. We got him on the new contract now. He's kind of one of those players who the media aren't losing their mind over, but I think everyone who supports Arsenal can see how valuable he is. And, it's not a bad thing to have a silent killer like him in the team who can, even with his weaker foot, score goals like that. It was incredible.
Well, you don't hear Klopp banging on about Rashford, do you? He doesn't do that. One of the things I like that he came out with, first of all, I just want to say how exciting it is to have both the flanks now firing. I mean, it's amazing. You've got Saka, who every time he gets the ball, you think something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Martinelli doing his stuff as well. I'm getting breathless talking about it with excitement. Martinelli came out and said, "I'll never get tired of playing for this badge." He put a heart and a fist emoji. That was a spectacular performance. Obviously, we'll talk about who the player of the match is, but absolutely brilliant. 41 minutes, Odegaard on the edge of the box, attempts flirting with the right post, but sadly it goes wide. We needed a second because, as we said about Wilfried Zaha, I mean, he really bought it, didn't he? And I felt that he probably could have notched up a couple. He went close a couple of times. There was a very fortunate save, wasn't there, Jay, from Aaron Ramsdale when it hit the post, came back, and it seemed to go in backwards off his calf.
Yeah, that was a good battle, Zaha and White. Zaha's, even he's probably going to leave Palace, but he's a bit older these days, but he's still so tricky and he's still so effective and he's still a quality player, and he got his shot off. And I think Ramsdale got the faintest of touches and it hit the post and then luckily didn't do a Martinez.
That's exactly what I thought when I saw it hit the post and it was coming back. I thought, oh my God, here we go.
Yeah, it's tricky customers are.
White and Saka have built up a great understanding and we are now seeing White the baller, aren't we, really? Because the passes that he puts in, great vision, but a great touch as well, Lauren.
Absolutely. It was, I thought he had a great game as well, White. I thought he was phenomenal, particularly in the second half. But, that poor left back was having an absolute nightmare. He had... he had Saka who just wasn't letting that. He was putting so much pressure on him. He wasn't giving him a second to think on the ball. And whenever he got the ball back, Ben White was there to back him up. And it just seemed that whatever way, whenever Ben White touched the ball, Saka was off and he was finding space that no one else had seen on the pitch. It was incredible. But yeah, their link-up play is probably unrivaled. It's probably the best right I suppose, left, right back and right wing combination that we see in the Premier League week in, week out. And, you know, let's not take that for granted. It's phenomenal.
Well, let's get to that second goal. You can walk us through that one as well, Jay. We'll give you one in a minute, Lauren. pardon the expression, but we will. 43 minutes, Saka gets the crucial second, Jay. Walk us through that. It's, again, it was Ben White, a combo, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, he tried that pass. That was open. They Palace, the Palace backline were leaving quite a big gap, and which Saka obviously identified that he could get into. And White, probably about 5 or 6 minutes before, had played that little sort of ball in behind, and Saka darted in there. And basically, Saka had the ball on the right, played a nice little 1-2, and White, it would mean perfectly weighted pass. And again, I mean, Saka just cool as they come, you know, didn't snap at his shot or anything like that. Side foot, rolled it into the net. Not an easy finish, but also the goal was made by the pass. Saka didn't have to do anything with it. Just perfectly weighted. And I mean, that is bread and butter for Saka, isn't it? You know, like, you know, he eats those up, and you want him on that. He is the difference maker at the minute, isn't he? He's the one who, if there's a chance like that, you want him on it. And he finished it beautifully. Keeper no chance. I felt a bit sorry for the goalie, to be honest. He was just like thrown to the wall. So that was a strange choice to put him in goal, because when the teams were read out, like we were sitting there, it's like, who's that goalkeeper? You know, I mean, I'm sure he's a great goalie, but
looked about 12.
Away at Arsenal, you know, league leaders, thought it was a bizarre choice. You know, like the keeper might, you know, from a confidence point of view, I mean, not that you massively you want him to have a shocker, but you know, we just thought it was a bizarre choice to select him. But again, great finish from Saka, 2-0. And that, you know, obviously we spoke that, you know, Zaha had that chance, but apart from that, we were dominating, and it took a little while because we were, Like you said, Tom, Ødegaard had a chance where he rolled it past the post, and the keeper made, to be fair to him, made a good save. But we were getting a little bit frustrated, and we were struggling to create any, until the Martinelli goal, we were struggling to create any chances, as in shots on goal, but we were completely dominating the game. 2-0 was more than a fair reflection, because we were dominating, you know, and Palace, they were struggling massively.
What impressed me about this performance was the slickness and the quickness, the passing, the ambition, the vision, the drive. I mean, it all came together, and it was looking at periods like vintage Arsenal from the past. It was unbelievable. There was one stain, Lauren. There was one stain on this proceedings, and it came in the 63rd minute. Elise swings in a corner from the left flank. It was a ball that should have gone out for a throw-in, but Rob Holding, White kept it in, unfortunately, to go out for a corner. So that was the first problem that we kind of suffered. But when that ball came in, Lauren, I mean, this is a real ball buster for us, because I just felt no one actually could handle it. No one looked to see where the danger was. No one got a foot in. It was embarrassing. It was awful. And we're getting too many of these goals. And if it comes down to goal difference, we're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. You know, I don't know what it is, but there's just recently there's been a lot of goals. I wonder, is it because we're dominating so much that, you know, all defensive duties are out of everyone's mind? The ball comes in and they don't know what to do, you know, that kind of way. Because it doesn't make sense, because we've been doing so well. You know, obviously there's the set piece coach in, and we're scoring from set pieces. I don't understand why all of a sudden we're having so much difficulties defending them. It must be something to do with lapse in concentration. I don't know, but it's really disappointing, I think.
Because apart from Holding, it's the same personnel, isn't it, really?
Exactly, so, absolutely. But as you said, no one went up for it. No one really made a call. Everyone kind of just stood there. Ramsdale went down on his knees and was kind of looking, saying, you know, whose responsibility was that?
he was angry, wasn't he?
I would be too. I would be too. You know, I think at that point it was either 2-1 or 3-1. You know, it brought them back into the game a bit, and I mean, I wasn't too worried that they were going to, you know, come away with any points from it, but it did ruin the celebrations a bit. And, you know, I think we see week in, week out how important that clean sheet is, not only to Ramsdale but to the defenders as well. And you know, it's a reoccurring problem, so it needs to be sorted out sooner rather than later. And hopefully that's the last of such stains that we see this season.
Well, we used our substitutes well, didn't we, Jay? We got Tierney on for Zinchenko, Jesus on for Trossard, 65 minutes, caused a different set of problems. Apparently, Jay, they're not substitutes now. They're impactors.
Nice.
Whatever. Jorginho for White, Smith Rowe for Martinelli on the 83rd minute, and Kiwior for Gabriel in the 85th. We'll come back to you in a minute, Jay. Lauren, we're going to give you the last goal with Saka. I mean, you expect him out on the right, don't you? You see him out on the right causing mayhem and all the rest of it. And then suddenly he's in a centre forwards position when this ball comes in. Have a little walk through that. Cherry on the cake.
Yeah, I think I can't remember what exactly happened, but Tierney got a bit of luck and the ball, I think he took a cross in, and there was a deflection and it just seemed to come ricochet back to him. And I'm sure we're going to talk a bit more about his performance, but it was phenomenal. He sent that ball in, and you know what, there were so many times throughout the game that the perfect, you know, cross in or ball in just wasn't there. Either we were going too high, or you know, we couldn't beat the first man, whatever. But Tierney picked it was textbook perfect ball to Saka in from the left. And as you said, Saka was standing there ready to go, and he didn't have much. He made it look easy. He probably did have a lot of work to do, but he made it look effortless. And you know, that was the second of the day. And I think that's the beauty with this team. When we're confident, when we're playing well, you know, there's so much trust and belief within the squad, and everyone knows what they're meant to do, that players, you know, who are normally out on the right can drift in a bit, and we don't leave big gaps, and it doesn't look overcrowded. It's just like an intuition or a very good reading of each other. And you know, I think that's probably the benefit of having players, similar starters, week in, week out. They're so used to playing with each other now, and it's great to see. It's really, really good to see.
Jay, when Saka first burst onto the scene, I knew he was good. I mean, I think we all appreciated there was some real talent and potential there, but he's accelerated so quick. You just can't put the brakes on this boy, can you? He's suddenly gone from one level and he's kind of scooted up three levels. He's an international. He's playing out of his skin.
I mean, what more can you say? He's ridiculously consistent. The second goal, I mean, both goals were superb, but the way he just took that shot on first time, keeper no chance for the second goal. His assists are going through the roof. You know, his goals are obviously going through the roof. And you lose week in, week out. I remember back in the day, like, we were so heavily reliant on like Henri, weren't we? We were so, you know, like Henri could have an absolute stinker, rotten game, but then pop up in the last minute and win it. Like we're not that reliant on Saka yet, but he never has a bad game. You know, he very rarely has a bad game. Okay, he didn't play particularly well against Sporting Lisbon the other night, but not many people did. You know, he's scoring, he's assisting, like I said. He's also a massive role model. You know, he's somebody that is a very like genuine direct link to the fans and the players, the club. You know, he comes across as a really genuinely kind, decent human being. He's whether he likes it or not, he's an ambassador, isn't he, for the club now? And he's liked and he's loved by not only our fan base, but you know, neutrals alike adore him. And he seems to be enjoying his football. He plays football with a smile on his face, and he's with the right coach, you know, because for many, many years, you know, young English players, if you think of Gerrard, you think of Rooney, you think of Michael Owen, you think of not so much Beckham because he left, those kind of players from that era, those players had a really brilliant sort of first 4 or 5 years of their career. And then once that sort of youth had been coached out of them, they dropped off, and I I think with Arteta, he's got a perfect coach to just let, you know, let Bakayo improve at his own pace. And I mean, it's his pace, like you said, Tom, is quicker than anyone at the moment. And he's playing like as good as anyone in the world, in Europe. You know, he's Marcus Rashford's having a great season. Saka's having, for me, an even better season because we're top of the league and he's keeping us top of the league. Man United are still losing 7-0 with Rashford in the team. Man United are still, you know, drawing here and there, and we're winning games and he's keeping us top of the league. And, you know, he gets rotated, you know, fouled on a rotational basis every game, and he jumps up and bangs two goals in and gets an assist. You know, well, you never get tired of talking about him because he is such a likable character. And when he first came on the scene, he played left back, he played left wing, he played number 10, you know, but now he's very much on that right-hand side. And you know, alongside Thomas Partey, you know, we do have players that can play on that right side, but the drop-off again, you know, because he is that good. And I didn't want him in part of the England team. I didn't want him to be, obviously he is going to be, but I hope that he comes back and he's he's in such great form. He's key to us now. You know, he's 10 games left. And if we're going to win the league, he's going to have to continue at this pace and at this level, you know, and we're heavily reliant upon him. But you know what? He's good enough and he's strong enough to carry the expectation. So unbelievable talent. And we're lucky to have him. And he cost a big fat zero.
Well, probably Arsenal won't agree with you because they pump money into training him up and all that sort of thing. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And what an inspiration for the Hale End boys, isn't it? Because he's one of their own. He's come through. So now they can see that if you play well enough, if you're consistent enough, and if you've got the skill and you listen to what you're being advised, you're going to come through. England are up against, please don't tell me it's Italy. I've got a feeling it is.
Yeah. Yeah, Italy.
Because he's going to get lumps kicked out of him, isn't he? I mean, that's the Italian way, isn't it? Sorry if you're Italian, part Italian, quarter Italian, whatever. But it's going to be like that. Let's just have a look in this scale here. He's got 12 goals and 10 assists. So that's 22-23 season. And on this list, it's quite fascinating. 2016-2017, you've got the likes of Alexis Sanchez, 24 goals, 10 assists. It's brimming with top talent. I won't read them all out, but Theo Walcott, Santi Cazorla, Cesc Fabregas, Van Persie, Thierry Henry twice, Dennis Bergkamp twice as well. What you'd expect that, wouldn't you? Genuine class. Let's do the stats for that game. We'll do Arsenal first and then the Crumpled Phallus next. 15 shots for us, 9 for them. 5 shots on target for us, 5 for them. 63% possession for us, 37% for them. 587 passes for us, 358 for them. 86% pass accuracy for us, 77% for them. Arsenal played the most sublime football. I was so genuinely excited. I don't know what the difference was between the Fulham game and this one, but this one kept me thoroughly entertained, Lauren. Yeah, there were some tricky patches, which you expect in a game, but the touches and the class that we showed, I mean, it's really coming to the fore. Even if people don't like Arsenal, they can see what we're all ranting about, surely.
Mm-hmm, for sure. It was a great game. And I think what was so great was the, you know, there was no one player who, I mean, obviously Saka had a great game, but there wasn't one player who ran the show. It was a complete team performance. Even when the subs came on, you know, everybody brought something different to the pitch and everyone looked like they were really, really enjoying themselves out there, which was something that, you know, was really great to see, apart from probably the Crystal Palace keeper, the poor chap. But, It was a really enjoyable game to watch, and I found the same. I was really enjoying it, and you know for 90 minutes I forgot about the stress of the title challenge and everything. It was just a great game of football to watch, and you know, hopefully the next 10 go exactly like that. That would be great.
I'll tell you what that goalkeeper reminded me of when we slung in, what was his name, Rune Ragnarsson. Oh my God, that was a baptism of fire, and God knows where he is now. He's playing I don't know, in a pub side in Istanbul or somewhere. But yeah, let's move on then to the player of the match. There's so many choices, as you said. Jay, who would you favour? Is it the star boy, or have you got someone else in mind, or are you going to spread it?
Yeah, well, we forgot to mention Shaka's goal.
Oh, did we?
Did you?
I got so carried away. Should we go back to it? Lauren, I was going to give you that, wasn't I?
Yeah, I can talk
so
through it,
much
absolutely.
Excitement, Podders, that we just can't contain ourselves. Let's go back to that Xhaka goal then, because that was 55 minutes. Xhaka managed, I thought, to fumble it in, really. It wasn't a clean strike, was it? He kind of got tumbled into a defender. And I don't know how it actually made the net, Lauren.
Yeah, I was trying to watch that as well, but you know, it was completely.
See, completely seamless. We've just gone back there and nobody knows the difference.
Just edit it back in. It was a complete Xhaka goal. I think he won the ball back and passed it to Trossard, who beautiful pass to pick him out in a very crowded box. And then, yeah, I don't know, it was just a bit of luck, a bit of fortune, whatever it was, the ball ended up in the back of the net. Xhaka's 2-2 games now. What a great return. Love his new celebration. Very cute. It was a great, you know, it's fantastic.
Yeah, what's all that about with the thumb on the
I think
nose
it's for his daughter, waving. They said. I think his daughter, yeah, he does it for his daughter at home or if she's in the crowd or whatever it is. So it's cute. I think it's really adorable. Yeah, it was a great goal. However it ended up going in, we won't ask any questions.
No, I don't mind if it stubs in off the turf and hits someone on the hip or bum or wherever. You don't really care, do we? So we get back to, we hadn't sort of dug out our player of the match, had we? We're going back again, back to the future, Podders. Jay, who would you pick?
Yeah, I mean.
See, look, totally seamless.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, obviously, you got to give it to Saka. I thought Odegaard on the day again. He's just so good, and the way that he his ball retention and the way he's so impressive how he presses. You know, when they do lose possession, he's the first one to press. I was really impressed with Odegaard as well. Ben White, one of the best games he's had for us. Rob Holding, like I said earlier, was fantastic. You know. And I was so pleased for him that he had a great game, but you've got to give it to Saka. I thought Tierney did really well when he came on. It's been tough for him, hasn't it? You know, he hasn't got anywhere near as many minutes that a player of his quality probably should be having. And he took his very brief chance, I think, pretty well, you know, and we're going to need him in the running, obviously. But Saka, two goals and an assist. You can't give it to anyone else, really.
What about you, Lauren?
Yeah, honestly, the exact same names that were popping into my head. I thought Ben White had a phenomenal game. You know, Martinelli obviously probably deserves a mention for his bounce back following, you know, his miss. I thought Ramsdale made some really big saves in the first half when it was 0-0 or 1-0 to keep us in. Yeah, there's not much more I could add there to what Jay said. I think Saka's the clear and obvious choice. But, you know, credit where credit's due. Everyone had a great game. And, you know, if there could be 11 men or however many subs we had of the match, I'd give it to them all because it was a great team performance.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll just chip in and say, well, it's just Saka, full stop. Yeah. What more can we say about that boy? I mean, he's just chewing it up. Right, let's go to the WSL. No action for the girls at league level, but they were in action tonight, Lauren. What did you make of that? I didn't see it myself. It was a 1-0 loss, wasn't it? Away, so it's back at the Emirates.
Exactly. So they were away at Bayern Munich today, so they're playing in the Allianz Arena. It was a nice early kickoff, so I got to squeeze it in before I got on here. It was a great game. It was a really, really great game. The first half was very, very, very even. We went in at halftime 1-0 down. It was a poor goal to give away. A nice ball whipped in and just none of our defenders got up in time to clear it. And their striker got a great header in. But in the second half, we absolutely dominated. You know, it was a classic Champions League performance. You know, get the one goal and sit back and defend for your lives. And that's exactly what they did. Second half, we absolutely dominated. There was a lot of concern going into this game. You know, obviously, we're missing goals at the moment and we're playing against a great team, Bayern Munich. I think they're either first or second in the Bundesliga or the whatever it's called, against, you know, a really great team in Wolfsburg. So it's... it's not as if they're a bad team at all. They're a very, very strong team. And a lot of people were thinking, you know, we would be lucky to come away with any sort of result. And I think the performance today was really, really promising. A lot of hope coming back now to the Emirates next Wednesday. So, you know, just keep playing the way that they're playing and hopefully the goals will come and we'll get to the semi-final. Oh, can't hear you.
We've lost Tom.
Are we there?
Oh, you're back. You're back.
You're back.
Right, I'm back. Hey, it's all going down here today, isn't it? It's lucky Jay's keeping an eye on what I'm doing as well. I've got to tell you, Podders, I'm normally working from A4 sheets, but I've got the old iPad. I'm going high tech now. So that's why, in the excitement, I forgot about Xhaka's goal. That's how that's how we're explaining it away. North London Derby for us next, Lauren, at the Indeed. Weekend. They're not doing too well, are they?
No, they're not at all, you know.
Good.
Yeah, fine.
What can we expect from that one? We should be flying. We should actually rinse them out, shouldn't we?
For sure. I think we're away from home this week, but they, after getting rid of their manager, you know, a string of unfavourable results for them. I'm not exactly sure where they are in the league, but they're very low down, maybe 9th, 10th out of 12 teams. So, you know, disappointing season for them. They do have some great players. They have some very good players. Just not clicking for them this season. It's a tough season in the WSL, really. There's a lot of very competitive teams there. But, you know, they've just parted ways with their manager. I think their main goal this season will be staying up, which I think they will do. They've no problems there. But it's a great opportunity for Arsenal to continue on their winning streak now and keep pushing for those Champions League places.
They could be short of another manager soon.
Yeah. Very true.
We should all take a minute to laugh at Conte.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fabulous, wasn't it? Every word was comedy gold. It was absolutely spankingly true. And it was one of those ones where, Jay, you've got a Tottenham manager who doesn't say it as it is. But Conte, it's like he doesn't give a shit, does it? It just comes out and rolls the lot out.
Just classic, classic Tottenham. Yeah. They've got, you know, Conte's he's a world-class manager. He's proved it, and he can't get a tune out of that team. They're just shocking, and it was comedy gold. It was unreal. I didn't actually hear it until Sunday because I was busy Saturday, and I was laughing on the way. We were listening to it on the way down to the game. God, we were chuckling away in that car. It was good fun.
He can't survive though, can he? Not after he's attacked the club himself, Daniel Levy. I mean,
he can't survive now. I mean, ultimately, is you know, you would. He knew what he was going into. You know, he knew Tottenham Hotspur. You know, and he'd already turned them down. You know, and Levy went back with obviously a much higher wage. He took the job, and he knew what he was getting into. You know, he's. I mean, long may it continue, but. I play football with some Spurs fans, and he's, you know, the way that they talk about how inflexible he is with his tactics and how he persists with certain players. And, you know, like it's not all down to everything that he came out with, although a lot of it is true. You know, there's a fair amount of responsibility that he has to shoulder. You know, he's been shocking himself, you know, but I mean, who cares about that? It was funny. You know, it's just amusing.
Well, it's funny that there was so many Arsenal fans getting all bent out of shape when he got offered that job and saying that, you know, Arsenal could have nicked in there and got him. Well, you reap what you sow, Podders.
History of the Tottenham.
Be careful. Yeah, I mean, it's comedy gold every week. Jamie O'Hara on Meltdown. You've got people ringing up Squawk Sport. Moaning and belly aching and slagging off O'Hara as well in all the melee. But Lauren, I've got to ask you one more thing. Mm-hmm. It's about the World Cup fiasco. Is there any changes on that? Because it's looming, isn't it?
It is indeed. No, there's been no updates as of yet. Everything is above board. There was one thing that we did mention, which was the French camp. There was a lot of unhappiness there. Obviously, René, can't think of her surname now, the French captain stepped down. But 2 days later, the French manager also resigned. So that seems to have resolved itself in some way. At least they're taking action, you know, there. So apart from that, nothing else to report on from that side of things.
We'll have tons to report on after we come back from this smelly international break. Now, let's just finish off with a couple of bits. Erik ten Hag implied that Arsenal had had a full-strength squad to choose from all the time, which was ridiculous, wasn't it? Arsenal Watch have given us some figures. Zinchenko, out of this season where we've got all our available players, has missed 7 from 27. Partey has missed 5 from 27. Elneny has missed 20 from 27, probably a blessing. Smith-Rowe missed 17 from 27. Vieira has missed, not that one, the other one, the new boy, has missed 2 from 27. Reece Nelson has missed 15 from 27. Gabriel Jesus, 12 from 27. What is he talking about, Jay? Why is he looking at Arsenal and saying about we've got players available? I mean, it's like every team in the universe. You get casualties. You lose players, key players as well.
He must have looked. The only thing I could think of was that he must have seen the there's the stat flying around that we've made the least amount of changes. I think something like that. We've made the least amount of change, or Arteta's made the least amount of changes per team, you know, per game, whatever. That's the only thing I could think of, because for me, he can't be losing his head just yet. You know, he's just started. You know, he can't be losing it just yet, especially after, you know, they've been in pretty decent form, haven't they, United, you know, in general. And I just think he got his wires crossed somewhere. I think he must have just seen, that stat that we've made the least amount of changes, because ultimately we've had, like I say, we had that spell where, like you said, Tom, Zinchenko from the start earlier in the season, he was missing for quite a while. And obviously Jesus, Partey was missing at a pretty key moment part of the season. So let him carry on crying. At least we're doing something right?
You know, well, yeah, while we're on the subject of miserable Manx, we've got Gary Neville saying about Lauren, London Football Awards, they're biased. Everything was about Arsenal, but nobody's talking about Thomas Frank, the Brentford coach, who has been incredible. I think he deserves the award for best coach ahead of Arteta. I mean, Thomas Frank is good, obviously, but I think Gary Neville needs to give his head a wobble and suck some air in, because you see what we were last season and the seasons before, and then you see where we are now with the style and panache and all that sort of thing that we're playing with. He surely deserves what he got.
Arteta, for sure, absolutely. I mean, and no disrespect, obviously, to Frank. He's a great manager as well. Brentford are doing exceptionally well. But, you know, which team is top of the league? Gary Neville is one man who is so deep in denial. I think he's deluded himself, but that's fine. We'll leave it at that comment. I can't listen to him, honestly. I can. It's funny. It's hilarious. You know, he's so bent on this idea of United finishing above Arsenal that it's beyond anything at this point. It's just comedy. Yeah, he's got some funny opinions when you look at it like that, but otherwise it's a bit insufferable.
I actually loved it, guys, when Jamie, whatever his name is, was sitting there when they got thumped 7-0, and you can see Neville just slumped, sort of shaking his head, and there's the other guy sort of going, yeah, what's his bloody name now? Forgotten it.
Carragher,
yeah, the spitter. That's the one, the teenage spitter. We haven't forgiven him for that. Right then, let's move on. Arsenal icon Lee Dixon has basically said that we're using the Declan Rice transfer as a smokescreen to get Caicedo from Brighton. Any legs on that, Jay, do you think? Edu's a bit slippery, isn't he? He's a bit, you know.
I'd really like Declan Rice. He's a good, really good, solid midfielder. Caicedo is good as well. Like either for me. I haven't really ever bought into the Declan Rice in reality, because I just think it doesn't really. I suppose we signed White and Ramsdale for big money, so maybe not. Maybe not. I was just going to say that. Maybe it doesn't fit the recent sort of type of transfer. Now, he's very established, and it would mean displacing probably Xhaka, who's been absolutely superb for us. But look, either for me, I'd be happy.
Well, here's another name for you, Jay McAllister from Brighton as well. Very good quality player, isn't he? But I think Brighton, I tell you who we do need. We need their talent scout, don't we?
Yeah.
he's just bringing in such good players. It's a joke. And there's another guy.
Alexis McAllister. He won't be there. He will move in the summer. And he's somebody that I really like. He's quality, really superb midfielder. Really stepped up in the World Cup. I mean, you talk about great managers. The Zerbi's doing a great job for Brighton. But again, just going back to what we were saying a minute ago, you know, you take what was it? I think we've now reached the same amount of points that we had at the end of last season with 10 games to go. You know, like that is madness improvement. That is crazy. You know, that's and you're talking, you know, Thomas Frank and the like have done really good job. Really good with completely different clubs, with different expectations, different wage budgets, different levels of quality in the squad. And also, this is Arteta's first job. You know, he's very new into it. And you know, we're on the. You know, I mean, if we do manage to get over the line, he's what an achievement. But I forgot what the question was now. But
get ahead of yourself,
Jay. I love you, girl. Love him.
What about this name? I'm going to chuck this name at you. Sacha Boey, 22-year-old right back from Galatasaray. I don't really know that much about him, but apparently Edu's doing a bit of covert operating to see whether he can attract him in. Is that a position we really need filled? Right back? Don't know. And also, let's just talk about Martin Odegaard, who apparently is on the cusp, Lauren, of signing until 2030. What an epic signature that would be. That's a real statement of intent, isn't it?
Absolutely. Throw whatever money we need to at him, keep him at the club at all costs. You know what? Oh, God, yeah. Yes, I'm on board. You don't need to sell that one to me.
Laura Woods was sort of getting beside herself with excitement. It's a shame we've not got Soph on here. Well, hopefully we'll invite her back and the internet will, I don't know, get out the doldrums. Right, let's move on to Leeds. That's the last one before we go, Podders. Sit tight. You can get that tea and have a wee in a minute. Leeds, what are we going to expect? It's home advantage, isn't it? They're playing us at home. So, Jay, they're in a tricky position. I looked at their fixtures yesterday and they've got the win. They've got a couple of losses, a win again. They're not really consistent enough to find anything that you can actually lay on the table and say, this is how they're going to play or this is how they're not going to play. Inconsistent as hell.
Yeah. I mean, getting rid of Jesse Marsh, you know, just a few weeks back and a new guy coming in, it's always going to be tough. You know, when you haven't got a transfer window, you haven't got any real time to coach your players because the games are coming so thick and fast. I expected a similar sort of game to Sunday. You know, deep, they'll come and they'll sit deep and they'll look at it as on the counter, but I fully expect us to get the result. You know, after that, we've got a run of real tricky games. And if we can get the result there, put us in the best position possible for the up and coming fixtures, and be a tough game. But of the 10 we've got left, I mean, you know, we've still got to take it a game at a time. And I'm sure Arteta will get the lads completely, you know, prepared, and any complacency will just be coached out of them. And of the 10 games left, I just think this is one where I think you quite fancy us, you know, because Leeds aren't a great side at the minute. So I'm going to go 4-0 win.
Ooh. Steady with yourself. What have you been drinking tonight?
These days.
What's Stacey been feeding you? Weetabix and all the rest of it.
I am.
And a gin. Oh, unbelievable. I'll go for that. Lauren, the big thing here is they're 14th in the relegation mix still. They're about to get sucked down if they don't start hitting in their stride. So I think they're going to bring it. But the good thing is we're not at Elland Road, because I wouldn't fancy us as much if we were there, because that's a horrible ground to go to. You've been there, haven't you, Jay? Hornet's net.
Do you remember the fixture earlier in the season? We scored early, but we got battered. Do you remember? Yeah. They were given a penalty in the last minute, and then it got rescinded. I think Gabriel got sent off.
Yes.
was.
Oh, I do remember that.
It was one of the. I mean, the last remaining head on my hair on my head was about watching that thing. It was awful.
Manscaped. We'll get that off.
anything better than that, I'll enjoy. But yeah, it's a tough. Yeah, you're right. It's a different. Leeds are different at home, aren't they? They're a much different.
Formidable.
Different animal there with their crowd and stuff. So it'd be
hostile Yorkshire group. Sticky buns. Lauren, what can you envisage for us the Emirates against Leeds?
I'm manifesting that everyone comes back from international duties untouched, completely fit, everyone's fine, and we're going to have a very strong team. And, you know, as Jay said, this is a must-win. This is a must-win game, and you would imagine that every player is going into it thinking that as well. At this stage, you can just sense the belief that they have in themselves, and I don't think that there's any fear when they go out and onto the pitch. And a team like Leeds, you know, 14s, no disrespect to Leeds, but you would expect that all the players are going to go out there and be ready to give their all, as they did against Palace. I imagine it's going to be a high scoring game. I don't think that our defensive issues are going to be solved over this international break. So I do think we will concede. But as long as we score more goals than them, I'm pretty sure that's how we win football matches. So I'll take that, whatever the result is.
You're not going to plump for a score?
No.
Can't even drag it.
3-1. 3-1.
3-1. 3-1. They're all going bonkers here, Paul. Honestly. Crazy stuff. But
they can't
it.
Be stopped. They just they're lining up to score nowadays.
If we beat them, that's 11 points clear.
Yeah.
That's mental. 11 points clear. There we were last season, could get a point on the board or score a goal. And we could be potentially 11 points clear.
City play Liverpool, don't they? That's their next game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sunday. And you know, I mean, Liverpool have been hot and cold, obviously, but Liverpool always give them a good game, and they are still a really good side. So, I mean, you imagine, you know, if we do get that win and City do slip up, it's a crazy position. Even if Liverpool sneak a draw, you know, and with 10 points, I mean, 10 points with 9 games to go. Bloody Nora, you know, like this is crazy stuff. I'm not ready for this. I'm not prepared for this.
Let me ask you both. Are you convinced now? Do you think that we'll start with you, Lauren. Do you think we're actually, when will you accept that we're so close? It's within touching distance, because this 10 games it's far enough back to make a cock up, isn't it?
Yeah.
With 5 games left with a points advantage, because if we get that 11 points, it's a good buffer.
It's a good buffer, but it's not certain. I think until we're at the point where, you know, if it happens and it's Arsenal around the cusp of winning, then I'll start to say, okay, maybe it can happen. But I'm just not letting myself believe until then. I don't know what I'll do. So, you know, I'm just taking it one game at a time. But
God, that'll be a podcast, wouldn't it? Oh, damn. Oh, man. God, that'll be great. I'll have to get some sort of inflatable trophy or something.
Yeah.
Jake, when are you going to accept that we're bang close? I think 10 games is too far away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I'm still very much in the whole just enjoying each win phase at the minute. Yeah. I said a couple of weeks ago, when Leicester won the league and they went to the Etihad and they got a draw, I think it was from that point on, the majority of the country thought, you know what, Leicester they're not going to fall away. And they're going to last, and they went on to win the league. And I think for me, if we can go to City still top by any, doesn't matter how many points, because psychologically for me, we've got to remain top for as long as possible. The moment that we drop, I hope it doesn't happen, but if we drop behind City, they're such a powerful side. We've got to stay top. So if we go there and we're still top of the league, and we manage to avoid defeat, I think the confidence that we will gain from that, for me, I think that's when I will start to, you know, so April 26th, when we play City, if we manage to avoid defeat, I think I will then really believe, you know, because that's the test, isn't it? That's the real, you know, if we can keep Haaland out, if we can keep De Bruyne, you know, but we're more than capable of doing it. And we have, you know, we've delivered this season. And the doubt that we have is based on previous years. It's based on natural, you know, human nature of not wanting to build something up just to get hurt at the end when it doesn't come. Now, if you were to just go by this season, we've been given enough evidence to suggest that the team will deliver. But we're at the business end now, and this is where the pressure really gets cranked up. City is still in three different competitions, you know, and it's not. And I know it's not just that game. We've got to go to Anfield. We've got to go to St James's. We've got Chelsea at home, and we've got, as well as the rest of the fixtures that are all difficult. But it's gonna be good. And like we've said so many times, haven't we? Just to be in the race,
yeah.
Just to be in the same paragraph. Just,
well, it's the performances as well. I mean, you we're starting to enjoy our football again, and you know, the crowds are turning up. You know, pubs, sports centres, just to watch it, queuing outside the Emirates,
inside the stadium. And I've said it a million times. It really is incredible that, you know, there was just before Palace's goal on Sunday, I think it was Ben White took Xhaka out, or Xhaka took Ben White out.
Yeah.
And they got up, and I think one of them, it was like G'ing up. The whole clock end was just like, oh, you know, everybody was up. And the atmosphere is so good in there. And our home form, you know, hasn't been the best, has it? It's our away form that's been better, you know, recently. But look, it's going to be one hell of a run in. But like I said, I don't think I'm ready at the minute. I'm not ready to be able to cope with.
All you can say, Pod, is we're in really good shape. We are in good shape. We've got a lot to play for, and there are key games. For me, there's four key games that we have to suffer. And obviously there's some tricky away gigs as well. One of those is Newcastle. I can't do another Newcastle one where we just fold up the tent. Can't do that again.
No, West Ham away. That's a tough game. They're all tough. It's going to be really tough, and we're going to have to earn it. And we're going to, you know, nobody's going to give it to us. But if you're going to go by this season so far, everything before, you know, everything from Palace backwards, they've given us enough evidence to suggest that they're good enough, and they're definitely good enough, but have they got the mental strength to see it out? I bloody hope so.
Well, it's interesting. We've got Leeds at home, Liverpool away, West Ham away, both dodgy, those ones. Southampton at home should be a bit easier. And then the City game. So it's a really mixed bag short term. And it depends for me whether we come out of those still on top and in good fettle, and then I'll start getting excited. But Podders, you will join us for the end of the season if we lift that trophy, for God's sake. We'll all be on it. We'll have our bottles lined up. We'll be drinking away and doing the pod as well. I would imagine that most of us will be drunk.
Oh, yes.
Then the people listening and watching will be drunk as well. Guys, it's been brilliant. Thanks for turning up. So sorry we couldn't connect with you for some reason. I think it might have been even the email address, but we'll get you on soon, because it'll be fun, and we can talk about your love of Arsenal and where you are with your YouTube channel as well. So excited. The teeth aren't working. Lauren, have a good week in Barcelona. So we've got 13 days off now until we come back together again. Hopefully I'll see you then. Jay, you look after yourself. Stacey, see you later. Is she there?
I heard
a little noise. What have you done? have you chained her up or something? What's going on?
She said bye.
Podders, take care. Thanks very much. See you soon. Right, we're going to do a new section on the show. It's a roll call. People that we chat to regularly on social media or get emails from. Dave, cue the music. Melanie Kay, John Gregory, Melanie Werritz, Beverly Lowndes, Carol Chalamet, Michael Bradley, Karen Williams, John Maloney, Neil Tilley, John Dury,
Neil Shah, get better, mate, soon. He's had a virus. Sean Claydon, Carol Johns, who had a sore throat. Don't ask your husband for the remedy. You don't want to know.
Odegaard, he's the captain of the Arsenal and they call him Odegaard. Odegaard, he's the captain of the Arsenal and they call him Odegaard.
My thanks to Silent Dave. You can find him on Twitter as SilentDave101. That's also the home of Jay, who goes under the Ball Gooner. Paul is at PMACCAP. Lauren is at LaurenD2710. And Tom is at ThomasAnastasi3. You can also look up our brothers from across the pond, Nick, Ben and Kevin. They're at the Arsenal Bros. Shout outs to Brandon Murphy, Simon Deasy of Gunners for Life, which is twin to the podcast, and Dave Miller from the Arsenal Attic. Look up Arse Devils for the latest features and breaking Arsenal news. The podcast is available on every social media outlet, including Twitter and TikTok, and you can follow, like or download on Spotify, Apple or Anchor. This episode was brought to you by Manscaped.com and the Performance Package 4.0, the best below-the-waist grooming kit. Want to get in touch? It's an Arsenal Thing 4 at gmail.com. Until next time, look after yourselves and each other. And remember, North London is red.